be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jugs there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw out some, and now take it to the head waiter." And so they took it. When the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this at the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
What gifts do you have? Now, a number of years ago, I was in college. That's hard to believe, I know. In North Carolina, and I remember sitting down with some friends, and I always said, you know, man, I wish someone would do that. In this particular case, you know, this group of girls started their own organization. You know, kind of a faith, kind of fellowship organization. I said, you know what? I always wish someone would do that. When would someone stand up and do that? They turned around to me and said, "If you want it, make it happen. Stop sitting around waiting for everyone else to do it. You have the gifts and talents to make it happen. Do it." Well, guess what? We got an organization. You know, it's kind of funny because, you know, when I was looking at, you know, using my gifts and talents to the service of the Lord, I was looking at different religious orders. And I will not name the religious order for all fairness. The religious order required a lot of education. I said, forget that. I don't want to earn that many education. I don't want to have to get a doctorate. Guess who's getting a doctorate? I remember specifically sitting in my advisor's office. I was really excited about what we were learning. And she said something to me. "Yeah, I just finished up all of my classes. I literally had my master's project ready to go. The application for graduation was in. I was getting my second master's. I was ready to be done with education for the rest of my life. Here it is. You know what? Have you thought about going on for your doctorate?" And the first reaction is, "I'm not that smart." She stared me on and says, "You are capable of doing this." Needless to say, at the end of the conversation, I called my provincial, and I asked my provincial, "What do you want me to do?" He says, "What do you think?" I said, "If it'll build up the church and it'll make the world a better place, sign me up. But I don't want to do this for myself. I don't need this for myself." Guess what? We're wrapping up the doctorate dissertation right now. It's not something that I looked for. It's not something I said, "These are my gifts and talents, I want to do this." Oftentimes, people saw it in me. You know, you have this gift, you should try this. How many times in our lives has there been people, whether it's a mentor or a teacher or even our parents, who acknowledge that we have a gift? Who is that person? What was that gift they acknowledged that we have? This is really important to understand today's readings. You have Jesus sitting there ready to go. Mary recognizes his gifts and talents. Notices the situation. They've run out of wine. Now, if you think about it, of all the miracles Jesus is going to perform, with lots of meaning and depth, the first one could have been healing someone, raising someone from the dead, casting out demons. But the first one is what? Turning water into wine at a party. I'm sure someone was scratching their heads like, really? That was your first miracle? But Mary, recognizing the ability to take this situation, which could have been a bad situation. Have you ever been to a party where the wedding's kind of not going as planned? Try talking to the bride during this situation. She's not happy. And Jesus takes this event and changes it, taking this water and changing it into wine. Taking something, a property it doesn't seem to have, and changing it. Taking something and changing it, bringing out properties that it didn't even know it existed, or that we wouldn't recognize existed in it. Again, how many times do we think we do not have those properties, and yet God changes us, brings out that what is best in us to be the best possible person that we can be, and to make the world a better place. My brothers and sisters, we're looking at the world and all of its problems. You know them. You know every one of the world's problems. And it can be almost overwhelming. You look at poverty, the environment, disease, famine. Look at the divisions in our politics. It almost seems like we can't do something about it. It almost seems overwhelming. And yet today we're reminded in the second reading, we all have gifts and talents. We have all been given something to make the world a better place. Now I'm sitting here looking at this, you know, if you look at this church, like all these beautiful, we can all see the architect and the artist, okay? There's structural engineering in here, do you know that? There's stage lighting. There's audiovisual. There's a lot to make up this church, to make this happen. There's musicians, there's readers, there's greeters. There's so much that goes involved to make this happen. And yet, I'm willing to bet that at some point in their lives, someone did not envision their gifts and talents would be used in this way. I'm good at basketball, but can I work a video camera? Oh, yeah, I like reading, but you want me to be a deacon? Oh, I like sitting through church, but you want me to serve? Every one of us has a gift and talent to make this happen and to experience God's love. My brothers and sisters in Christ, as we look at our world and we look at what is happening, God can use every one of your gifts. It's not that God, forgive me for using the cliche here, but God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. My brothers and sisters, as we gather in prayer, you're like, Father Christopher, I'll leave the praying to you. I'll leave all the holiness to you. I'll let the whole Mass thing fall on your hands. God is calling each and every one of you to participate. Not to say, I don't have enough, or it's not good enough. God could give his grace and to transform our work, to transform us, and to change our world. But we must be his feet. We must be his hands. We must be willing to say, yes, Lord, here I am. Let me give it my best option. And you know what? It will always fall short. We're not Jesus, okay? I always think about St. Joseph, you know? He got his perfect wife and a perfect kid. Everything St. Joseph does is never good enough. And yet, guess what? We remember the Holy Family. Look at the disciples. I mean, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You didn't have more people who were probably, you know, every time Jesus asked a question, they're literally shooting themselves in the foot. If you're going to build a church, you'll pick up some philosophers, maybe a few poets, some fishermen? Seriously? Peter, he's kind of doubting Jesus all the time. He's not always the best leader. He doesn't always get it, but yet God works with that. Who's the first one who recognizes Jesus as Lord? Oh, it's Peter. God uses each and one of their gifts and talents, where individually it's not going to work, but collectively it works to bring the church about into this world. You are not too young, you are not too old to contribute to this church. My brothers and sisters, everything that you see going on in the church, the crisis, all the stuff you see in the world, my brothers and sisters in Christ, you are the answer that the world is looking for. Don't sit around waiting for someone else to do it. Oh, I'll let the Pope take care of that. I'll let the politicians take care of that. My brothers and sisters in Christ, you are the answer. God has gifted you by the nature of your baptism to do something. God will use, with your help, your grace, God can do anything with you. If God can take someone like me, who's practically, let me tell you folks, my spelling grades in 7th and 8th grade, D to F, I'll admit it. AP Biology wasn't that great either. I'm not going to sit here and go through every grade, folks. But I just want to say, look, God has taken that, and now I'm working on a doctorate, and that's not to brag, people. It's not to brag, because you have so much more gifts than I, and God is going to do so much wonderful things in your lives. But let's not say, my time is not yet come, I can't take care of that. I don't have that gift and talent. My brothers and sisters in Christ, God has called you. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called.